Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Day two of the Democrats' opening arguments at the Senate impeachment trial. And joining us live is UB political science professor Jacob Neuheisel. Jacob, how much of this are you watching or listening to?
Thanks for having me on, Susan. To be honest, not a lot. I don't think I'm alone among professional political scientists in that judgment. It's really kind of hard to get excited about a process, the outcome of which you already know, barring something extraordinary, and it's not clear what that would be.
Yeah, we've been talking to some of the people who are inside the Senate chambers throughout the day, and they've been mentioning some of the different things that they've seen inside. You know, people doing crossword puzzles, you know, some people chewing tobacco, you know, doing whatever it takes to stay awake during this. And you'd have to think that that's almost understandable with the long hours and, as you mentioned, the foregone conclusion that seems to be at the end of this.
That's right. I mean, it's not clear what it would take to get 20 Republican senators to defect. I think the most the Democrats can hope for at this juncture is that they make a good case for their side. Maybe they're able to turn some independence to their particular line of thinking. Maybe something new comes out that hadn't been there at the House, effectively indictment. Or they turn one or two senators, and therefore they have something of a PR coup. Beyond that, I think it's a big ask.
You know, it's going on, and it will today and tomorrow. I mean, it'll go on. There's five more days of opening arguments. But who are, like right now, who are the House managers playing to? The senators, the jurors in the gallery? Or are they playing to voters?
Oh, that's a great question. So the cynical political science view of it is that everything is calculated to play to voters. If not voters in their particular districts, certainly voters who are looking at and evaluating the Democratic brand name. So I think that's the cynical political science view, the sort of side of me that still believes that people can do things apart from electoral motivation. Says that, they really are looking to turn some more independent-minded senators, and they're going through the process in good faith.
Where do you think voters are getting their information on impeachment from, though? Because you would have to assume that, like you mentioned at the top of the interview here, most aren't watching for 10 hours a day.
That's right. And I think part of the uphill battle for the House managers here is that people get their information where they normally get their information, which is to say that, much of what people are looking at is curated and hand-selected to be basically in agreement with their views. So if you're a Republican, you're watching the Fox News take on it. You're listening to Rush Limbaugh to see what he says about it, or Hannity. If you're a Democrat, you're heading on over to MSNBC or CNN to get your take on it. And so I think that, because those normal channels of information haven't been disrupted enough, really people are hearing echoes of their own voice.
Is there any danger of going too long with these arguments?
Absolutely. I think that's always been sort of a specter hanging over these proceedings, which is to say that sometimes there is such a thing as a backfire effect in American politics, where if you push something too far or you're beating a dead horse well past the point where most of the electorate is with you, I think that there is some danger there. The polling shows that most, a slim majority of the American public is in line with the Democratic House managers on this, but that would not be comforting to me, I guess. That's not enough of a margin.
Okay. Going forward, how does, based on what we've seen so far in day one, how do you think the strategy of Trump's lawyers changes based on the arguments, if it does at all?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure I have a great window into that, not being a lawyer myself, but I think that they're going to hang their hat on some of the ambiguities in the types of references that folks like Schiff are making. He's bringing up Hamilton. The founders were not a unified group. There's certainly disagreement among them to say that this is exactly what was meant by something like high crimes and misdemeanors, I think is a bit of, an overreach in terms of saying this is exactly what it says. So I think the exploiting those kinds of ambiguities is probably fruitful ground for them.
White House lawyers will begin to lay out their case on Saturday. Do you see any advantage or disadvantage to that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, going second certainly has quite a bit of an advantage here, which is to say that you know what you have to overcome. You know what the talking points are that you have to beat back, and you can adjust accordingly. And so I think that that's a huge advantage here.
You know, I'm wondering when this is all said and done, people following this now maybe have this idea, okay, it is a foregone conclusion. We know what's going to happen and we know why. We know that. But for your average voter, the people going to the polls this November, when the president does his victory lap, expected to happen at the State of the Union, and says, you know what, the impeachment trial happened, I was cleared of everything, how many people aren't paying attention to this day by day and say, oh, okay, well, they must have made great arguments in the impeachment trial and not just, you know, well, that's, of course, what we knew going in?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, if your biases tend to bring you in line as President Trump, that's probably exactly the judgment you're going to make, which is to say that, well, he said it must be true. And he said that he was absolved of any wrongdoing. So, okay, that's it. Case closed. And I think that we reason very much through the lens of our own understanding and the lens of our own biases. And this is certainly no exception either.
You know, they haven't settled this one yet. Do you expect witnesses will be called?
I would bet against it. But again, I think that would be the that outstanding factor that could bring me to watch more of what's going on. Because then that's certainly an X factor where you don't really know what's going on. You know, John Bolton were somehow to be called to testify. That's one of those cases where, as a lawyer, I don't think you'd want to have them there because you don't know exactly what they're going to say or exactly what they're going to be asked. And so that's sort of where the uncertainty comes into this process. If there are witnesses, then this becomes a little bit more interesting.
And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch coming up in just a few days. Hey, Jacob, thanks so much again. That's Jacob Neuheisel, UB political science professor, joining us live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.